Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Priority Health's Emily Martins joins in to talk about the milestone of turning 26. The Grand Rapids African American Museum and Archives has a new home. We get the details. The largest piano festival in North America returns to Kalamazoo on the 30th. Grand Rapids Public Schools unveiled its first electric buses. And local authors join in to talk about their new book, We Are Home When We Are Together.
Priority Health's Emily Martins in the house. She's lead territory manager. How about turning 26? Hashtag a wish. And why that's such a milestone for health coverage. Let's talk about tips for health plan shopping shared, including, well, some common mistakes. You have to make the mistakes. Emily, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Did you know you wanted to be a lead territory manager when you were six?
Absolutely not. I wanted to do something more like you're doing or be a news anchor.
Well, I was a physical therapist my first career. Oh. And in my late 30s, after age 26, a change. So, you know, do what you do, but there could be a future if you follow your passion.
Never too late.
I will not digress there, but yes, a career I chased and love and get to talk to persons like you and serve as your messenger. Thank you for serving for Priority Health, of course. Let's talk about why turning 26 could be an issue in a good or a challenging way.
Sure. I think for a lot of young adults, it's a pivot point, right? So if you are on your parents' plan turning 26 this year, which 120,000 Michiganders are, they were all born in 2020, they will be losing their healthcare coverage. And we want to equip them to know what their options are. It can be, you know, their first time perhaps making a healthcare decision, maybe like filing their taxes or, you know, those first few steps out into the more adult world. I have young adults myself, so that's what comes through my mind is having them make these kind of decisions. And we want to make sure that they know what to look for and kind of what the resources are. So we have a phone team that can help if they, you know, want to reach out. I think it's really important to have them, you know, kind of know what they're looking for. Are they looking for specialized care, things like that, to set them up on this, you know, new transition that they might be facing?
Because 26, I mean, I had just finished my master's degree, so I was kind of still a college kid, mm-hmm. you know, not really caring about what the next step was. So it's key, a milestone for health coverage. So let's talk some basics, if we can. For someone shopping for a health plan for the first time, where does one start?
I think going back to figuring out what you need. So who do I see and you know, what kind of medications do I take if that, you know, a lot of 26-year-olds are going to be really healthy. So that's nice. But we have different options and other carriers, obviously. They may have coverage through work, so they would want to check with their employer and see if that's an option. We also direct people to the marketplace or to Health Sherpa. Those are some platforms that can help them shop for coverage. Again, we have a team at Priority Health that can help with those things and actually search and file applications for folks, see if they qualify for a tax credit, and then independent agents all over locally. So lots of resources there. You don't have to do it alone, and I think I would recommend not doing it alone to get those resources. Yeah.
Does one start this process prior to turning 26, or should I wait until after my birthday party?
I think it is important to find those resources before you turn 26. I will say this, if they're on a group plan, they need to check with the insurance company or the human resources or the plan itself to see whether they come off the month they turn 26 on their 26th birthday or at the end of the year. So that can vary. So it's something that you'd want to find out. They should get a letter in the mail, but that's going to be at almost a too late point. So, yeah.
Meet those deadlines. Emily, health insurance has a lot of confusing terms. We know that. Talk about key pieces of lingo perhaps first-timers or third-timers should know.
Sure. The sad thing I think that these young adults are going to find is the premium. That's a monthly amount that they pay. Yeah, it's not a fun bill, but it is important to know what that is. Deductible, that can be an amount of money that you have to basically pay into a healthcare provider before your service coverage starts kicking in. copay, co-insurance. A copay is a flat dollar amount. Like maybe when you go see your primary care physician, you'll just pay like $30 or varying amounts. Co-insurance, that's a percentage that you pay after your deductible's been met. It for things like hospital services or lab visits and things like that. And then kind of the big one that we look at, or the probably most important one in terms of risk, what's your overall risk for the year? Your out-of-pocket maximum. So that would be the most that you would pay in 1 year. And it's a good number to know.
And again, what's a resource to start learning these terms?
I would say you can go online and educate yourself. Maybe there are probably YouTube videos and things, but why do that when we've got a team at Priority Health? Again, lots of really great local insurance agents that are independent that can shop for coverage for you or just kind of teach you what your options are. Medicaid may be something that a lot of these 26-year-olds qualify for, depending on their income. Pregnancy can factor into that too and kind of like lower those thresholds. So those are some resources. And again, an insurance agent or our local team, we have our website resources as well. Thinkhealth.PriorityHealth.com is a great resource, and PriorityHealth.com is another spot you can shop.
I'll ask that near the end of our conversation. Again, talking all things, well, literally turning 26. It's a big deal, especially when it comes to adulting. You have some health coverage to discuss. Emily Martins with Priority Health, Lead Territory Manager. So what are some common mistakes first-time health plan shoppers make?
I would say not making sure that their doctors are covered. So
In the system?
In the network.
Network, yes.
Yes, network is huge, and I think a lot of times people will shop on price, especially when they have to purchase their own insurance outside of a group or an employer. So they're looking at bottom dollar. And I have seen, unfortunately, way too many times that they go to use their plan and what they need isn't there. And they, you know, are unfortunately stuck with that for, you know, till the end of the year oftentimes. So that's a big one. And not confirming whether their medications are covered, forgetting to check for perks like virtual care. We offer some gym memberships with some of our ACA plans. So want to make sure that you're looking at the whole picture, what's going to fit for you, not just what's that bottom dollar price, even though I know it's tricky and income can be an issue at this age.
What's an ACA plan?
Affordable Care Act. That was actually what established this 26-year-old older rule. It used to be, I want to say 22, don't quote me on that, when folks had to come off their parents' plan. And so it was extended back when the Affordable Care Act was initiated. And so it has helped a lot of folks. But it basically ensures that there is options for coverage for pretty much everyone.
So message is learn from others' mistakes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, don't get stuck in a bad place where you don't have the coverage you need.
Well, it's serious stuff. You find yourself in an emergency or a diagnosed with a newly disease that you need to immediate access. It's like anything in life, prepare early, correct?
Yeah, certainly. And I was a young adult myself once, and I remember having a lot of debt. I got sent to collections. I went without insurance for a while. And so, you know, as someone that's been through that, it can ruin your credit. You know, it takes a long time to build that back up. It's something that you don't want to have to buy, but it is important, and it is one of those key pieces of becoming an adult, sadly.
Well, better than the alternative of
it
not
is.
Having that opportunity if we want to get sentimental. What else do we need to know, Emily?
Priority Health is here to help you. Again, we just have tried to provide as many resources for this transition period as possible. I would be checking with your employer, like I mentioned previously, and see when your coverage is ending, or your parents' employer, if that's what's your situation is, and check out your options. See if you qualify for a tax credit with perhaps one of those local agents or our specialists that are available to serve you.
As Lead Territory Manager, what's your territory?
I'm actually right here in the Grand Rapids area, Kent County, so I get to talk to fabulous insurance agents all the time.
Wonderful. Yeah. Ask for Emily Martins. Okay. How do we find out more information? One more time, a repeat of those websites, please.
PriorityHealth.com/ThinkHealth and PriorityHealth.com. You can actually shop for plans there. HealthSherpa.com is another resource that folks can go to, as well as those local agents.
Love the word Sherpa in many ways. All right, Emily, go get them. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Well, my next guests have been having fun, as my understanding and prediction. Grand Rapids African American Museum and Archives, We'll Call You Grandma, has that new home, a first-class museum devoted to the history of Black communities. We catch up with the opening of the doors and what is in store for 2026. How can it get bigger and better? George and Deborah Beard. Now you
rhymes missed. With inspired.
Inspired.
Rhymes with inspired.
Bayard.
That's what he said. He would say it. Bayard.
Bayard. Inspired. Yes. Yeah, I think I missed that class in third grade. Glad that you are here. I should know that, George and I. You were our honorary chairs for the final Festival of the Arts. Yes. Deborah, you an overachiever and a success in our own backyard. I am so honored that you're both here. I'll start with you, Deborah. Yes. How are things going?
Things are going amazing. We are elated. We pinch ourselves every day going into that new space. And things are rocking and rolling. We have a lot of events and things coming up. We'll share more later.
Yeah, the table is filled. George, how are you feeling? Dream come true?
Yeah, it's a dream come true. You know, it's a long journey. You know, we've been doing interviews with GVSU for, you know, 10 years easily. And, you know, the journey was worth the wait. You know, being patient. We had a number of other buildings we could have signed on, but kind of the Lord was just waiting for us to find this perfect location. And for us, it is a dream come true. You know, but it's a start of a dream because, you know, we're taking those baby steps right now. But it's a big leap, and we're happy to be there.
Where are you located?
Well, that's going to be 41 Sheldon Southeast, Sheldon Avenue. We're in between the YWCA and the Literary Club, the Women's Literary Club.
Yes.
And so that big building that's there that used to be home for Compass Film School, I think Art Prize was in there, UICA was in there at one time. And then we go way back. We start doing the history, and it used to be a car dealership, and then before that, it was actually the downtown market. So it's a lot of history in the building, and we're happy to be there.
Which is important to remember, but let's move forward, as they say. So here we are. The ribbon has been cut. You are now in full speed of ahead. Let's begin with some activities to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Deborah, are there happenings as early as this weekend?
Absolutely. There is a community historians workshop. We've been having a series of those from 2025 and earlier this year. And this is the culmination of all of those workshops. And we actually have been tracing the history of Grand Rapids Public Schools, GRPS, from the 60s. Up until now, and so we have community historians that come in and share their perspective and their oral histories of their journeys through GRPS. It's been an amazing, amazing time to share. And so this Saturday at 9 o'clock at 41 Sheldon will be our final workshop. And we'd love to have folks to come out and join us.
Is there a registration?
There is. If you go to our website at grama.org, you'll see that flyer. You just click on that link and sign up.
It's GRAAMA.
.org.
That .org, important as well.
Yes.
So be included on those conversations. George?
Also this weekend on Sunday from 2 to 4, many people out there in Grand Rapids know of Todd Robinson's book, City Within a City, that documents Grand Rapids, the history, civil rights history, and history for freedom and equality. From, I think the book started maybe in the 50s and goes up to around the 70s. But the book, you know, was a bestseller here in Grand Rapids. And there's a group, GR MiFi, who has been documenting the cases in the book and putting it into a documentary film. And what we're going to do is do a teaser. The film is still in production, but on Sunday, we are going to do a teaser and have a panel discussion. Now, what's different about this particular one is that it is geared at our young people. We really found that there was a hole in collecting history, appreciating history, and what we found was a lot of young people picked up the book and they wanted to know more. Once they read stories about the mustache incident happened in 1966 in at South High School, but there's all these things that happened here in Grand Rapids that the people don't know about. That's another thing too. The I don't know is also our current exhibit at the museum, but this youth engagement will be from 2 to 4 on Sunday. No registration. Just come down after church or come down after you do your little physical activity. You know, like wind down from a run or something like that. Yeah, you know?
I appreciate you saying that. You can do church and run.
There you go. But yeah, we'll have a panel discussion, and you can come in and you know, tell us your thoughts.
Nice, thank you. The Byards in the house, Deborah and George, talking all things Grandma and the wonderful activities in store now that the museum is off and literally running. Deborah, what else is on your list?
Well, we also have a couple of Juneteenth activities that will be coming up on June 19th. We have Juneteenth Jam that will be happening right across the street at 41 Sheldon, and that will be from 4 to 8. And then we also have a scholarship gala, Juneteenth Scholarship Gala, that will be from 6 to 9, happening right in our space at 41 Sheldon.
Because you have the theater
we
there.
We absolutely do. Yes, yes, yes.
Appreciate that. Jumping to, I want to jump to October, and then whatever else you have, George, some tours available for us?
October, yeah. We have our Never to Be Erased tour, and that's going to go this year to Nashville, Montgomery, or Alabama, Selma, Alabama, and Birmingham, and then Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky. And so every year we do the tour, and it just grows every year. We are fortunate that we have found some funding to kind of mediate some of the pricing for people. It's a four-day trip, five days and four nights.
Yeah, I have a five-day, four-night tour.
There you go.
Yes, because you prepped me.
Yes, and so, yeah, and like a lot of trips, you know, we go to other African-American museums around the country, but it's sometimes it's not the museums, it's just the bus ride itself where you get the stories, people really confide in the group, and you, it's like a family traveling. And so we really love it, and each year we'll try to do it to different parts of the country. But this year we're going to Alabama, basically. I'm backtrack one little bit because we do have a couple of book signings coming up also at the museum. Dr. Randall Jelks's new book about Langston Hughes is and his take on democracy. We'll be doing that. I believe it's in the first week in May sometime. And then we also, our museum has taken on a real community feel. We are having a celebration of life there for a gentleman here who passed away, was a Grand Rapids native, Dante James, who It's an Emmy Award winning.
We lost Dante?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Yes. Okay. And he, you know, was an Emmy Award winner.
I've spoken with him before.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you did. I mean, because a lot of his programming was on PBS, and and I'm sure you probably touched bases with him. I know.
Thank you.
Went to Grand Valley too, I believe. Yeah, I think he got his master's there. So, so those are some of the things. I mean, there's about two or three other book signings too. They've not been
confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed yet. So we're not going to announce those just yet. But Dr. Jelksis is.
Yes. Yep. Well, I trust all of this found on your wonderful website.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes.
www.grandma.org, and you can get our newsletter. You can get our membership.
Information about membership.
Memberships.
Join on in. Visit and visit the exhibits. Yes. Correct.
Yes, exhibits exactly. Are still there. Yep. Yes. Even in that the space we're slowly renovating, but we still have exhibits up. That's one of the things that we wanted to make sure we did.
Well, I've got you down for a roving mic tour if you'll have me in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
We would love that.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else, Deborah?
No, that is it. We are open Thursday through Saturday.
Nope. We're going to be open. I'm going to make the announcement now. We're going to be open on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Starting next week. So
okay.
It's not today. But we'll start next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Almost 40 years. That's just how the marriage works. George and Deborah fired. That rhymes with inspired.
Correct.
You inspire me. Thanks all. See you soon. Guest is ready for one of the highlights of his life with the opening of the 2026 Irving S. Gilmore International Piano Festival, April 30th through May 10th. Don't miss this. It's an annual conversation we have. Executive Director Pierre van der Vesthuizen, good morning to you, Pierre.
Good morning, Sally. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome. We've spoken before. We'll speak again. Our Kalamazoo Lively Arts will be bringing back the story as well. What number year is this for you at the helm?
Eight years, and it feels like just yesterday. It's just, you know, this is a dream job. I'm like a kid in a candy store, so.
You should. How are all your talented children?
They're doing wonderful, thank you. They're all involved in music and sports and all the things that you want, but we love it here in Kalamazoo, and with all the music going on here, too, it's just a lovely area.
Should it. An Irving S. Gilmore International Piano Festival, how would you describe this?
I love, there's a quote from NPR from a few years ago, the largest gathering of keyboard artists in the Western Hemisphere. So it is really one of a kind. There's nothing else like it in the United States. And we certainly go toe-to-toe with the major festivals around the world. It puts Kalamazoo and Michigan on the musical map. So it's quite extraordinary.
I have my dates from April 30th to May 10th. How does one best maneuver? Well, I guess maybe even a better question. Are these activities, presentations throughout Kalamazoo or in one space?
Yeah, they're throughout Kalamazoo. Yes. And if you go to our website, thegilmore.org, you'll see that we have 12 days of festival. The festival is now annual. There's this new change starting this year. And it's 12 days. We kick off actually on the 24th with Joshua Bell. And then our opening dinner on April 30th with our newly appointed or awarded, I should say, Bell jazz artist Sullivan Fortner. And we will have our 2024 Gilmore artist, Alexandre Kantarov, here as well. But we're in 19 locations throughout Southwest Michigan, 46 concerts. So that includes our partner organizations. 8 of them will be live streamed. There are 14 of them are completely free. It includes film series, public talks, master classes, jazz concerts, chamber music, solo, concerto, you name it.
That's nice. Is there a day, a piece, and I know all have their talents, all have their interests, but that I shouldn't miss, Pierre?
Oh my gosh, there are two things that I really think people should try everything to come to. This is our finale concert with Sullivan Fortner playing with Cecile McLaurin-Sauvin, the magnificent vocalist, and the most incredible trumpeters I've ever heard, Ambrose Akinwaziri, on May 10. And then we have on May 1st, Alexandre Kantarov, French pianist, who, if you've watched the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Paris a couple of years ago, Alexandre was there on the barge playing in the rain. But he is just simply sensational, and he will play a Tchaikovsky concerto with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra on Friday, May 1st.
Pierre, are most of these opportunities ticketed, or are there some freebies I can sneak in?
Most of them are ticketed, but they are. The extraordinary thing about it is, they are things that people can see in Chicago or Carnegie Hall at a fraction of the cost. We've had people come in here saying, oh my gosh, we have Richard Good and he's just played Carnegie Hall, but there the ticket is like, $240, and here you can see these wonderful artists at, $40 or $50. But then there will be free events as well. We have or close to free even. We have a wonderful family concert called Right in the Eye. It's only $10 for adults and free for all students or children 17 and under. And that is a set of silent films with 50 instruments on stage at Chenery Auditorium played by four different musicians. Some of these instruments they even made themselves. And that will be truly spectacular. And that's on May 2nd at 2 p.m.
Again, marking the calendar. Well, again, even though this dubbed as an international piano festival, I'm glad, having played a bit of trumpet way back when, there's a trumpet involved. And remind me of, if one's never heard of Irving S. Gilmore, why his namesake?
Well, Irving S. Gilmore was a local merchant here in town and also an amateur pianist. He actually went to New York, to Yale, to study music, but then came back to run the family business. And then when he passed away, I will also say that he was well known for his acts of philanthropy, surprising acts of philanthropy. He would, out of the blue, pay off a student's debt, college debt, or buy them a piano, or things like that. So he had this, wonderful acts of philanthropy. And when he passed away, the trustees of his foundation wanted to do something to honor his memory since he was such a piano lover. And so they came up with this Gilmore Awards, which is the largest awards of its kind anywhere in the world at $300,000. And now we have this also inspired Mr. Larry Bell. And so now we have a jazz award at that same amount as well. And it also inspired this festival, which is now in it 35 years later. So we're incredibly lucky to have that here in this region, and we hope to see you all here.
We will be there. One more time, best website, please, Pierre.
TheGilmore.org.
Great. All right. You play a little piano, don't you?
I do. My wife and I are a piano duo. That's actually how we came to study over here. We're both from South Africa and came to study piano, toured all over the world, and then I was in Cleveland for a number of years leading a piano competition there, and over here now for 8 years. We still perform every once in a while, but busy with teaching and for kids to keep us running around, the Gilmore, so it's a blessed life.
That's wonderful. Welcome. I'm glad you are here in Michigan, as they say. All right, Pierre van der Westhuizen, thank you for your leadership when it comes to the 2026 Irving S. Gilmore International Piano Festival, kicking off April 30th. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's a big deal. He's director of innovation with Dean Transportation. You've heard the announcement right here on WGVU News. The first electric school buses in the history of Grand Rapids Public Schools are now on the road. So, Christopher, we'll call you Chris. Congratulations to you and your team. The buses are out of the door, as they say. Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. We're so pleased to have announced the first electric school buses benefiting Grand Rapids Public Schools, and we sincerely thank our partners at GRPS and a lot of really smart individuals who helped us get to this point and launching the electric school buses. Before we get started, I think it's very important also to acknowledge the state and federal authorities that allowed this to happen through the grant programs and rebate programs. So we appreciate their support of zero emissions transportation and the deployment of electric school buses.
Thank you. Yes, the stork does not bring the electric school bus. There we are, made possible through this $5.2 million grant. Yes, as you mentioned, from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and of course, $1.5 million from the state of Michigan, and of course, many more on the side. How important is this to have an electric school bus, Chris?
Oh, I think it's critical. We believe that the future of transportation is zero emissions. You know, there might be some ebbs and flows on the journey towards that, but this is absolutely a starting point. And we're excited because if you think about it, school bus is a great case for electric vehicles in particular. The school buses start and stop from the same location as the charging infrastructure. And the stop and go of school transportation, low speeds, neighborhoods, that really thrives for EVs. Whereas, you know, you look at traditional diesel ICE engines, those thrive in kind of the constant higher speed, highway speeds, much like our cars. If you drive a gas car or ICE engine of any type, max efficiency occurs on highways typically. On the EV side, that actually flips. You get your max efficiency in the stop and go because of things like regenerative braking. And so we're real excited. School bus is a great use case for electric vehicles, and to be able to get started here and launch them in Grand Rapids for the benefit of GRPS, we are just so thrilled to be able to do that.
And I guess one has to ask, is the charging infrastructure in place?
Absolutely, yep. So we're pleased, in addition to our federal and state partners that supplied grant and rebate funding for the buses themselves, as well as the infrastructure, we're very pleased and thankful to Consumers Energy and their Power My Fleet program. Through that program, they were actually able to bring in a dedicated electric service that powers the chargers themselves. So it's a separate service, 480 volts. And it comes into the property there and services 15 chargers. We're very pleased. They're all in the ground. They're 30 kW chargers. So that's a higher level charger than you'd see in a home, or it'd be more similar to like a Tesla supercharger, which people are familiar with. Maybe not as fast as the highest powered superchargers, but for us, the dwell time overnight. So we may park that bus at 5:30 or 6 p.m. in the evening. The driver will plug it in, confirm it's charging, and then they'll come back and start their day, 5:30 a.m. or 6 a.m. the next morning. So we have generally 12 hours of dwell time. So that's another good reason that school bus is a great use case. With the bus sitting overnight, it can charge back up to 100%, and we're off and rolling the next morning.
Wonderful. Christine with us on behalf of Dean Transportation, Director of Innovation, innovating an electric bus. Their first electric school buses in the history of Grand Rapids Public Schools now on the road. Are we looking at about 15 buses?
Yeah, we're really excited. We're looking at 15 buses. The first seven are first generation Thomas built. They're called C2 Julies. So Joule is a unit of energy, so it's kind of a play on words. They call it the C2 Julie. And then the next eight are going to actually be the second generation C2 Julies with some upgraded features. It's going to operate at a little higher voltage and have an e-axle. Primarily both of those items are going to improve the efficiency of the vehicle. But we're excited because the first seven are going to generally serve the regular education students and scholars at GRPS, so that'd be your traditional kind of the most basic bus you could think of, 71 passengers. The next eight are going to be intended to serve the special education population at GRPS. So they're going to be a combination of some with wheelchair lifts, some without, some with add-on air conditioning, and we absolutely need all those features and different layouts to serve our students appropriately. But I think it's also a great use case. We're going to use those items to figure out, you know, how do they impact the range? How does all that operate with electric only? How do you function all those items given that you're purely operating off a high voltage system?
And I guess, will the kids notice a difference when they're riding the school bus?
I absolutely. I think one of the very first questions everybody asks when you get on board is this bus even on? It's hard to, if you've never been in an EV before, there is no roar of an engine, right? Because there is no engine. It's very quiet. So we truly expect the students may have a better experience riding the bus, that it's going to be quieter. They won't have to speak so loudly to hear their friends and converse. And we think it's going to improve the overall experience, in addition to zero emissions transportation. But just overall, the experience of the ride on the school bus may be improved.
All right. Well, bigger and better. And again, the funders, we can't thank enough. And according to the superintendent, her quote, exactly what we mean when we say reimagine GRPS. So goals accomplished there. How do we find out more about this, Dean Transportation, and more, Chris?
Well, you are absolutely, everyone's certainly welcome to visit our website, deantransportation.com. And we also work closely with our partners at the district who have been posting information about the rollout of the EVs. And as we get them on the road and get the special education vehicles, the next 8 out there, I'm sure we'll be posting some additional information in coordination with the district. And again, we're just really excited. This would not be possible without the shared vision and leadership of GRPS. So we thank them tremendously. For a project like this to be successful, you really have to have buy-in from all different sides. So GRPS's vision to reimagine and our goal to continue evolving, innovating, and moving towards zero emissions transportation, it's really a great partnership. And I expect this to be successful, and it won't be without its challenges. These are new to the industry, but we're pleased and we're excited to continue learning and deploy the EVs for student transportation and scholar transportation at GRPS.
Right. Keep on doing you and Dean Transportation. Christopher, Chris Dean, thank you. Director of Innovation, keep doing your good work. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Guests are here too. It's a mother-daughter design duo. Jean Stover and Grace Start on the line. Their book is out, a kid's book. We Are Home When We Are Together, helping kids deal with big emotions that come with moving or other family transitions. Let's do mic check. Jean, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning to you, Grace.
Good morning, Shelley.
Oh, I bet Jean's the mother.
You are right.
Grace is the daughter, of course, doing great things together besides just the DNA. Jean, talk about a bit about your life, please.
Well, I am a native from Chicago, but moved to Grand Rapids about 10 years ago and have just loved living here. And I've professionally been a kitchen designer, and Grace joined me when we moved to Michigan to be closer to her and a couple of our other adult kids. And since then, it's about 2016, we have just moved into a business that has kind of increased in a way that we could have never expected, doing full service interior design. And eventually it landed us with a television show on the Magnolia Network called The Established Home.
Good. Be careful what you wish for. Grace, your side of the story?
Yes, I was a recent graduate of Calvin College and married and started having children of my own and wanted a flexible job. And so I turned to my mom and she hired me with no design experience other than growing up seeing it done in front of my eyes. And we launched our career together as full service interior designers. And that blew up with Instagram. And so we've had the privilege of working all across the country on beautiful homes and getting to work together, which has just been a joy. It has been.
Yes,
true.
Good. And it's still early in the stages. All right, let's move on to what you've also been doing, releasing what's dubbed as a most darling kids book, We Are Home When We're Together. I'll start with you, Jean. Talk to me a little bit about this.
Yes, well, I think the genesis of this book was that Grace and her family were getting ready for an unexpected move, not too far, but, you know, away from friends and neighborhood. And so Grace, thinking about it and just talking with her children, wrote a poem about how we're home when we're together. And there's a lot of places that are home for a lot of people. And she had this vision of what it could look like with beautiful illustrations for a children's book. But I think that the poem was just inspired. And it, when I read it, just the poem, I was so touched. It's just poignant and sweet and comforting for actually not just children, but parents too.
Very cool. Grace?
Yeah, so I have four children, and when we moved, they took it all sorts of different ways. We had some children gung-ho and some a little bit more apprehensive. And so this poem and now turned book is to comfort kids through life's changes. And it has a Christian perspective, too. So it says to lean on God through life's changes because he's steady.
Thank you. But yet the target audience is for kids, yes? And I guess what kind of kid age?
Yes, I think the target audience is age 4 to age 8. And it's a really fun children's book because of the illustrations and the story, but there's also a little Easter egg on every page where you have to find a little mouse that is hidden in the illustration.
So cute.
Imagine. And I might have missed this. Your illustrator?
Megan Lindsay.
We found her on Instagram, and she's from the Pacific Northwest.
That is definitely how life can work. And one may never meet in person their illustrator, but yet look at the talents. West Michigan authors on the line, Jean Stopher and Grace Start, mother-daughter design duo hosting The Established Home on the McNally Network and lately writing a book, We Are Home When We're Together. Dealing with big emotions that come with moving or other family transitions, what's another, take-home message? I'll start with you, Grace.
Another take-home message from this book would be that things can change, but change can sometimes be a positive thing. And the outlook that you look at changes with an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude or worry can change how you see what you're going through.
Right, it's the lens that you're looking through. Yeah.
That's nice. Will there be another book between the both of you or bring in another child?
Yes, I think there will be. In fact, we have signed another book deal with HarperCollins to do a beautiful coffee table book of some of the homes and projects and interiors that we have designed, and that's due out in about a year.
All right, family that will stay, plays together, stays together, writes together, stays together, and more. Apple does not fall far from the tree. All right, Jean and Grace, remind us where we can find your good work, please.
Yes, the book is going to be available at every book retailer, both online, and it hits the shelves on April 28th. Pre-orders now.
Yeah, available for pre-order now. You can find it on Amazon or more locally.
Yes.
Well, support our own backyard of West Michigan authors. We are home when we're together. Jean and Grace, thank you very much for your time conversation. We'll get you in studio next time. How's that for a plus?
You would love that, Shelley. Thanks for having us on.
Yep. Thank you, Shelley.
Welcome. Your inspiration for the day, according to Dr. Maya Angelou, who we've interviewed prior to her, up in heaven she looks down, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day. Oh, and happy Earth Day.